Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Gossip, WGAG Radio. I am your host, Don Nicoleon, baby.
And I'm Keita.
What you laughing at?
And I'm Gloria.
What you laughing at?
I'm smiling.
Okay. Well, today's topic, self-destruction, is really ain't the rap audience that's bugging. If you're listening and you listen to a pre-recorded of Why Blame Hip Hop? It's like, today's topic is Dr. York versus the computer. Dr. York versus the Nuwabians, part one. Dr. York says nobody hates Nuwabians more than he do. I wonder why. But we're going to find out in a minute. Keith, why do you think he made that statement?
My personal opinion, I think he made that statement because I think he knew that they would betray him, you know, or that's just my personal opinion.
Why you use the word betray?
Betray him?
Yeah.
I mean, from everything that I've, you know, read or, you know, seen from, you know, the Nuwabian community, everything has been, like, bad about him. You know, I didn't read too much good stuff about him, I guess, since, you know, like, that case or whatever.
We was on Wikipedia, by the way. If you go to Wikipedia, and if you put in Dr. Malachi Z. York or Dr. York or anything like that, Wikipedia has where they have a page where all their references come from. Wikipedia is actually not a legitimate or a truthful website, by the way, but they have a list of where you can find where they get all their references at, and you can also change it if the references is full of shit, if what they're putting in Wikipedia is the truth or the lie, but you can change it. And if you look at the references, you'll find that a lot of the references are Nuwabian websites, Factology.com, He'sInnocent.com, and all of that stuff that his own Nuwabians is putting on Wikipedia, that they Wikipedia is getting all his references from, is from Nuwabians. From their websites, they're saying he's in jail, 135 years, child molestation, and, you know, and the like. So, again, that goes forward to my point I made last week in regards to that Nuwabians are the only ones that are defaming his character.
Yeah, because I haven't read anything from or seen anything outside of New
Orleans. Outside of them. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, again, go to Wikipedia and read it. Click on them links, and it'll show you that these are Nuwabian sites that's putting up the defamation of character against Dr. York. Ha, ha, ha. Dr. Thompson. Dr. York says nobody hates Nuwabians more than he do. Keita says, you know, based on because, you know, some niggas will betray him. You know, I'm sure you don't hate the people that betrayed you. I still love the people I betrayed that betrayed me. I still love them. But what do you think about that?
Well, as Nuwabians, and in reference to what his statement is about Nuwabians, he did say that it's an order. Nuwabians is an order. And all orders, such as the ancient mystic order of Melchizedek, are basically societies of secret living beings. He referenced this in the Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, in his translation, when he said that the Nuwabian order was during the time of Abraham. And if you take the people who are Nuwabians or who use that term or that name in this day and time, they don't carry themselves as an order. They don't carry themselves as any type of order that would be comparable to what he compared to
as an elite,
as seen as an elite order.
As an elite order.
And they don't carry themselves that way. They use the name and they defame it. And in defaming the name, they're defaming him. And if you, as you said about the sites on the Wikipedia, if you go to that, yes, they give you the opportunity on Wikipedia to change that information. And there are no Nuwabians out there who are trying to change that information. There's nobody out there giving the references to sources of information that can change that and correct it. And what they're doing is misrepresenting and by using that name. And as you said, they don't even know the meaning of the word Nuwabian. They don't even know the meaning of it, and they're using the term. And that would be one reason for him to feel disappointed in them.
Okay. Good point. Good point. Good issue. Good issue. Wow. High order. Yeah. Yeah. Again, and I don't know if you guys can hear Dr. Thompson real well. I'm just going to reiterate what he said. And that was basically that, you know, Wikipedia is a source where, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you know, utilize that for research and information and gathering things. And on that, again, if you find where Wikipedia is getting their references from, they're getting it from the very own Nuwabians that's putting out that misinformation about Dr. Malachi Z. York.
People who call themselves Nuwabians.
Well, yeah, people who call themselves Nuwabians. I agree. I agree. And don't know what the name means. I agree. Let's take a short break real quick, and we'll come back. If you're just listening in, we got more. Dr. York versus the Nuwabians, part one. Dr. York says, nobody hates Nuwabians more than me, more than I do. And, you know, I think he was the first one to make that statement, and I was the second. I always thought it was me first until he said it. You know, but it takes somebody real enough to say it, because these are, I mean, well, anyway, let's take a short break. We're going to take a short break.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time. When the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing.
If you're just listening in, you're listening to WGAG Radio Georgia Gossip. I am your host, Donna Corleone, baby.
And I'm Keita.
And I'm Keita. Everybody says that now. And I'm Keita. Anyway, today's topic, Dr. York says that nobody hates Nuwabians more than he do. And we're going to find out why. We're going to really probe into this thing. Dr. York, for one, taught a lot on the humanity, on the human race. And the human race is based on love, the love for all. And if you go to, I can't remember the site, but it's the site that is listed. It's some type of organization that lists all the hate groups. You have the Nation of Islam, the Black Panthers, and also the Nuwabian Nation of Moors is listed as hate groups, black supremacists. That was not what Dr. Malachi Z. York intended for his readers to do, is to go out and propagate hate for different races. And we're going to quote some of the words that he says in the book. But Nuwabians are now the nation, the Nuwabian Nation of Moors is listed. Do you remember the name of that? Everybody can check it out on the website.
I can't remember the full name, but I can find it.
Yeah, because it's actually on the internet, you know. Yeah. But remember George Jackson ended up receiving an award from them people.
He sure did. There's some type of tolerance organization.
Yeah, it's a tolerance organization. We'll get back with you on that. But these are hate groups, black supremacist hate groups that are listed. And the Nuwabian Nation of Moors and All Eyes on Egypt in New York, All Eyes on Egypt in Athens, All Eyes on Egypt. You look at those things, that shows that they went out, these particular people went out and propagated hate amongst other races. And that's not what Dr. York, you know, was teaching his readers or his followers, whatever you want to call them, whatever case it may be. And we're going to find that in the, he did write a book called The Family Guide. And it mentions to love all races. And, oh, wow, I just turned to the page, I think. Anyway, We're going to find it. It's in there. It's probably right after page 88, and we're going to get into the involvement, in that involvement page. So at the end of the day, here we go. Dr. York says that nobody hates Nawabians more than I do. And I truly, you know, understand that because, you know, when you love someone so much and they go out and they just mess up the family name, you know, and we don't mean hate like he just want to just wipe you off the face of the planet. What do you say, sweetheart? I know that's the involvement. That's right after the involvement. We did get a letter from the people in London, and let me answer your question, please, if I may ask the people in London question. In regards to Judge Royal mock trial, you might want to type in mock trial, or I tell you what, here's another better one if they lied already about it. But in the so-called trial, the pretrial era, Judge Royal makes a statement in court that y'all need to hurry this up because I gotta go see some college children. I got to see college children in regards to a mock trial that they're doing. You know, and first of all, this is supposed to be a real case that's going on. He's hired by the federal court, according to y'all. He's hired by the federal court to preside over a federal case, which would be so-called Dr. York versus whatever, you know, in the case of, in that case. So, first of all, you can't rush that because you're being paid to sit your ass down and preside over it, okay, unless you've been hired to do it, and you want to go ahead and rush it because your time, your fee, your hourly fee probably almost up. But he said that, and that's on record. I believe it was around December of 02, I'm sorry, 03, when he made that statement of coming into 2003. That's in the Macon District Courthouse, Macon Middle District of Georgia Courthouse, where he literally says he has another mock trial to do, okay? To clear that up so you can go and look that one up where he actually says it. If it's real, okay, it should still be there. And also Dr. Thompson, William S. Thompson case in regards to a few of the cases that he did depositions for expert witness case when they was questioning him, the state of Georgia attorneys, the attorneys for the state of Georgia questioning him on his relations with Dr. Malachi Z. York. And him in jail. And when you ask me where can you guys find that at, you can go to that courthouse. And I know you guys are in London, but you can go. You can actually just ask them for cases that Dr. William S. Thompson presided over. I'm sorry, Dr. William S. Thompson did his deposition hearing. I mean, you can just go to ask for Dr. William S. Thompson's deposition. But if you know the case. You know,
I have the transcript to one of the depositions, and that was the one involving the case of Charles Clark III.
Okay, the case with Charles Clark III, that was actually the first one, the very first one
yes, that
with
was,
the assistant attorney.
Yeah, that was another one with assistant attorney general of the state of Georgia, and that was dealing with patients or named Bell. Versus the state of Georgia.
Okay, Bell versus the state of Georgia, if y'all didn't hear him clear. But that you can go there and where he was actually being questioned in regards to Dr. York's whereabout, whether he was in jail or and all that other stuff, and he tells them, no, he ain't in jail, and they never argued that.
And they also referenced the information that I submitted in the case of Chief Black Thunderbird Eagle versus Don Baskin et al. They had that case right there at the table for the deposition to show that I had some connection or relationship with Dr. York, and in that deposition.
No, they showed that you had connections with the white York.
Exactly.
They were trying to show, they asked Dr. Thompson, I don't know if y'all can hear him, but they asked Dr. Thompson in the expert witness case for somebody else, expert medical witness, did he know a Dwight York? That was the question. Now you can go ahead.
And in that situation, you realize their purpose was to discredit me as a witness. Now, what I showed them, and in the papers that they presented, in the same papers that they presented in the case, it showed where I said I don't know anybody named Dwight York. I submitted that to the court, to Judge Owens, and I said I don't know that person because Seven Alive News and the Macon Telegraph reported him as being a 36-year-old thug from New York. And I told them that my patient was Dr. Malachi Z. York, who's 60 years old. And that was what I submitted to Judge Owens. And in a rush to discredit me, they just saw Dwight York on the paper that I submitted to the court, and they presented that as evidence to show that I had a relationship with Dwight York, and they stepped on their own feet. And I was able to show at that same time that, no, here's what I said. And I pointed out on that particular paper where it says, I don't know no Dwight York. And the rest is history.
And then they went on to question you, say, okay, well, then, who do you know? And he said, Dr. Malachi Z. York. And they say, well, isn't Dr. Malachi Z. York doing 135 years in jail for child molestation? Now, this is a question they're asking him.
Exactly.
They should know whether or not he's doing 135 years or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the order must always pass the Attorney General's desk before anybody from other counties, other states, can go and do any type of land seizure or a big arrest like that.
And my answer was no, and they could not refute it.
They couldn't refute it.
And my deposition and my testimony was not thrown out of that case.
Absolutely. Was not thrown out. They never said, Your Honor, we are the Attorney General, State of Georgia, the assistant, and we're here to prove that this man is a damn lie because Dr. Malachi Z. York is doing 135 years in a federal correction facility in the penitentiary. None of that was said. It's on record. Again, repeat that case for my people in London that wanted to do their own research.
Yeah, one of them is Bell versus the State of Georgia, and the other one is Charles Clark III versus the State of Georgia. They list the individual warden and others, so I don't have their names right in front of me, but it's Charles Clark III versus the State of Georgia.
And that's where? In Atlanta?
That they would both be Atlanta. The Fulton County would be Bell, and the other one would probably be Butts County, involving Jackson, Georgia.
Okay, good. Before we go to the chat question, let me also say this for all the real people that's out there that are constantly on their research in regards to this mystery, in regards to dispelling the lies, in regards to anything dealing with Dr. York. If y'all been keeping up with the so-called administration who tells y'all they're handling this case, who tells y'all that they need money for lawyers, and then they post up on their website all the documents and case documents. Have y'all ever questioned or has it ever crossed your mind that there is no response from the judges? They never put up the response of the motions that the judges said? Has that ever dawned on y'all? They'll put up with all the attorneys filing, all the bootleg UCC niggas that they using, but they never put up the judge's response.
Or decision.
They'll never post that. You better start asking them niggas why. Why they're not showing, okay, y'all, if you telling me that the lawyers filed this in November, then what show us the judge response. Because you could just be filing shit. You know, anybody can file something. So y'all better start demanding to show that damn judge's response.
And Judge Owens responded to me. Judge Owens responded to me and said that Dr. Malachi Z. York is not involved in this case. My request is moot.
It's moot. He said, Dr. Malachi, and yes, on record, please go. Y'all, please go. Please go. A real judge says that Dr. York ain't even got nothing to do with this.
Exactly.
He ain't got nothing to do with this. It's on record. That was the response or the motion Judge Owens said in the Macon District Middle Georgia Court. Please, the date was December 2004, okay? That's how far it goes back. We're going to take a short break, then we'll come back and deal with this somebody's question online.
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing?
is willing to save a world that is destined to die. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to WGAG Radio, Georgia Gossip. I am your host, Dawn Nicoleon.
And I'm Keita.
And today's topic is Dr. York says nobody hates Nuwabians more than him. Because I feel it. Because they all, most of them are just straight, plain out liars, straight out lying and deceivers. So what's the question from the people in the chat room, please? Let's address that.
Don, what about the letters? Is he really writing those letters? Up here in New York City, there is a lot of back and forth about what he has given permission to do, and that's from Lady Focus.
Lady Focus, let me answer that for you to the best of my knowledge and clarity. If there is a bunch of back and forth, then you already know it's bullshit. You already know it. You know, you already know that. If it's a bunch of, I got this letter, and I got that letter, and I got this letter, and I got that letter, you know it's fake, you know. And I remember a time in New York, and I don't know how long ago this was. I think it was about 7 months ago. There was a shooting in regards to a bookstore in New York. Some guy said he got a letter from him. And next thing you know, somebody was shot. Somebody went to jail. Come on now. You see what I'm saying? Them letters ain't real. It was also admitted two years ago from the own administration who was claiming that the letters was real, claiming that they got the letters, posting the letters up on the internet. And when we exposed that the letters wasn't real during that time, because everybody was receiving letters and they were saying, your letter ain't real, our letter real, your letter ain't real, our letter real, then they come out and admit to everybody that the FBI was writing a goddamn letter.
Wow.
And my question is, okay, Rick, okay, UNNM, you now say that the letters ain't real, but you was professing that yours real and everybody else's wasn't, and then you say none of the letters was real, okay, UNNM.com, then you say the FBI wrote the goddamn letters. So my question is, UNNM.com, and y'all know who y'all are, how the hell you know the FBI wrote the goddamn letter?
Okay. Okay. That's the question. For real.
So I hope that helped. I really hope that helped. But the people are writing these letters. And here's another thing. Y'all was plastering them letters up for a good year. Why y'all ain't doing it now? Why y'all holding private readings? What you scared of? You know, ain't but 30 people can come to your meetings, but Dr. York got followers all over the goddamn world. Why y'all start putting them up on the internet? Huh? Huh? Why y'all doing it privately now? Huh? Huh? Just to keep the little 30 broke Nuwabians you got under spell? All you need is 30? Hell, now I say all he needs is one mic. Shit. Anyway, we got another call on the line. I don't know if this caller want to make a statement or anything regarding to that, but his number is 347-926. If you want to make a statement, I'm going to click on you. If you're just listening in, just let me know. Caller, you on?
Hi, Ms. Don Nicolette. This is Lady Focus. Almost said my real name. I want to comment on the whole shooting incident. I know those brothers. I just want to say that real quick.
Okay.
And what you just said was interesting because I didn't know it had to do anything with that. Well, basically what really happened is the brother was – I was talking to you about this before. The brother basically, in the letter, like I was talking about, York had gave him the temple because he has his – those brothers on that side have their own store. Let me say that. And they are very successful Nuwabians. Let me add that also. Okay. And they got the store in the temple. Not to call no names, people was against that. Now, the story is, you know, it just supposed to have been a setup, and that's as far as I'm going to go. But it's getting to the point of what I said, these letters. It's like Dr. York wrote this because I have a sister. She's very devoted into it because she was here when Doc was here. And she'll tell you, she'll say, he didn't give permission. You're not supposed to do that. You can't do this. And these people are doing this and that, and they're not getting permission. And even down to brothers who are doing what he said, they're writing books because it's a brother that personally has books that Doc has given to him, you know, and helped him write half the books he's written, and they're like, oh, he's just copying Dr. York's books and sending them out. But then I'm realizing these are the things that York taught us. And what's ridiculous is, it's like, how can you trust these letters, you know? And one sister said to me, she said, the reason why she knows that a lot of those letters are not real because she knows York personally, and she said, you know, they call him Pops. She said, well, she knows Pops personally, and she said she knows how he talks.
Absolutely.
So when she hears those letters, she knows it's not right.
Absolutely.
And they are doing their thing. The brother that was accused of the shooting, I'm so glad that he's out. He's doing his thing out here, and I want you to know that also. When you see him, he's a very successful Nuwabian, and they're doing their thing out there. And he is a part of, he is also an inspiration to me also to why I'm doing half of what I'm doing also.
That's a blessing, Lady Focus. That's truly a blessing. But y'all heard it from Lady Focus. Coming and clearing up, you know, a lot of that stuff. But, you know, of course, y'all are hearing it from me. You got people from New York saying, you know, somebody who says that, you know, she know damn well it ain't him that's writing them letters. Everybody knows that, but if it was possible, they will fool the elite. That's all.
Right.
It was possible. So a lot of people are fooled because they get a hard on if they mention, if they just throw his name, their name in a letter, they get a hard on real quick. You know, put your name in it. We need more followers to go out there and grab the dumbfounded motherfuckers so they can build more of a capital of lies and keep.
Yep.
Virus. So yeah, you mentioned about throw your name in it, girl. You'll be hook and slime and sinker too.
That's
right. So anyway, on that note, you know, we're gonna take another short break and we're gonna come forward, you know, with some more information for everybody who really is just sick and tired of being sick and tired of this shit. Dr. York versus the Nuwabians. Nobody hates Nuwabians more than I do. Why, Dr. York? And we're gonna talk about what really happened with that Club Ramesses being closed down. We're going to give y'all the fact of why Club Ramesses on Tamaray was closed. Not what they were telling y'all.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live. Amen. Okay, if you're just listening in, you're listening to Dr. York versus the Nuwabians. I'm Donna Coleon.
And I'm Keita.
Please believe it. Okay, we got Dr. Thompson also here, Dr. William S. Thompson, whom is a close friend of Dr. Malachi Z. York and his private doctor. So anyway, we're going to keep this thing pushing. Nobody hates Nuwabians more than I do, says Dr. York. I love it. This is good gossip. Anyway, We're gonna take you back, because in order to know where you're headed, you got to go back. In order to go forward, you got to go back. People say, why is she going? Why is she always bringing this stuff up? Because it's very important, because a lot of us done went back to sleep, so we forgot everything that goddamn happened. We forgot everything that happened. So there was a time that Club Ramesses was on and popping, okay? There was also a time that while Club Ramesses or Tamaray was on and popping, you know, there were people that came from all races, all religious backgrounds, all walks of life to Tamaray, 404 Shadydale in Edenton, Georgia. There was also government officials in the town of Putnam County that also came to Tamaray. There were also Caucasians, neighbors that went fishing, picnicking, took their children to Tamaray and had a good time as well. The people of Putnam County, the neighboring town, the town. So when Club Ramesses was being built, being transferred from a warehouse to a social club, There was some shady shit going on in the town of Putnam County, in the land of milk and honey, Tamaray. And we're going to explain that why, really, what really happened to Club Rameses. And let me tell you what happened. I don't know who, but we're going to start dropping these names. Dr. Thompson lived on the land.
That's right.
Okay. You were there at that time. You lived there. So who was in charge of getting the zoning done for that building to get it transferred into a social club? Who was in charge?
There were several people involved in that, and that in the only two that would come to mind right away would be Tron and McKean.
Okay, Tron and McKean. Anybody know Tron? He has the store in Athens, Georgia. In Bogart, Georgia, actually, All Eyes on Egypt books and things or some shit. And McKean, who is, I don't know if he still is, Music Soul Child's manager. All right. So now, all of a sudden you have people having a good time in this club, in this building, in this social club, right? Well, Sheriff Seals come one day and put the padlock on it. And everybody tells everybody that he did it because he hated New Orleans. Maybe he hated people that lied on the zoning permits. That said that lied to have the building zoned properly. That's why he put the padlock on it. It all starts on that land. Nobody knows your business until you go out in the streets and you decide to do it right because you're dealing with Dr. York, the man that believes in walking right. So now I've seen you out as Tron and McKean to go out and do this stuff properly and get it zoned properly. And anybody that remember, we went to zone any errands in regards of it. And now all of a sudden it was padlocked because they violated zoning ordinance and they lied. What did they lie about, Dr. Thompson? Please tell these people. They lied that it was a warehouse, that that's all it was going to be, right? Or something.
I believe storage building.
A storage building.
Yes. And of course, it didn't look anything. Anybody who's seen how beautiful it is knows that it's nothing like a storage building.
So on the zoning, they only lied and they lied and said it was just a storage building and not going to be converted over to a social club.
And, of course, that required special permits also in order for it to be a social club.
It requires special permits in order for it to be a social club. So I ask everybody that believed that lie, that Sheriff Seals just did it because he was a racist, he hated New Orleans, then no way. Then you know Dr. York would have went put a straight suit on Seals and the county, because they would have been able to produce all the papers in court that they followed every ordinance that supposedly made that building, brought that building up to date so it can become a social club. Okay? So we're going to clear that lie up today. All right? We're going to clear that up. Also, Sheriff Seals offered to do security for the New Orleans. Doc, can you back me up on that, please, Dr. Thompson? Did he offer to do security on that land?
That's right. In the early days of the Zed Festival, the family week that we have every summer during the month of June into July, Sheriff Phil Datsy was on the contractual discussion to provide security.
Let me repeat that if y'all didn't hear that. Was under contractual discussion. Go ahead, sweetheart. I just want to just drive that home. These motherfuckers is like quick.
Yeah, to provide security during the Zed Festival. Now, why it fell through, I don't know, but it didn't happen. But he was actually considered, and he submitted a bid to provide security.
He submitted a bid to provide security. That sounds like somebody that's racist. That sounds like somebody that hates New Orleans. Does that sound like hate? Or that sounds like help? Shit. I see a call on the line. We got 54 minutes remaining on the air, and we just here to clear up a few things. You got something else you want to say? I see you, you know, you got something? You do?
No, that was
okay.
Concerning that topic.
Concerning that topic, anything else before we go to break? You have people something to ponder on?
No, that was it.
That was it? Okay. And again, I did mention some things last week that I will put up, and I will put it up on my site. That way, none of them haters won't try to bump it off so y'all can't find it. But I will put it on my site, certain documentations that he gave me personally that will prove one thing, that the trial was, it was already pre-recorded, that trial in Brunswick. Okay? Let's take a short break and call. I'm coming back to you in a minute.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
are they going to suffer tomorrow?
Really suffer tomorrow. What a shame.
Such a bad way to
live. Such a bad way to live.
I'm not sure about what trial.
All right. If you're just listening in, you're listening to Don DeColeon, WGAG Radio. I'm your host, Don DeColeon.
I'm Keita.
The quad one today. All right. So back to the zoning and forging the zoning things. Tron and McKee was responsible for handling that. Those were the names that was Dr. William S. Thompson was able to resolve firstly through memory. That's your reason why. If you mad at anybody, don't be mad at Seals. Be mad at them lying-ass niggas up there in Athens, okay? Because they lied on the zoning permit. Now, here's another proof that we got liars. We got forging people. We talked about how the letters was forgery. Okay? Now, there was a time that took place shortly after that, if I'm not mistaken, right, Doc?
Yes.
Okay? Where Tron, the owner of All Eyes on Egypt in Athens, Georgia, the same one that was in charge of the zoning, he was arrested. Dr. Thompson, why was Tron arrested?
He was charged with forging the signature of the circus owner.
He was charged with forging the signature of the circus owner. Nobody says, Dr. York says nobody hates Nawabians more than I do. I wonder why. He was charged with forging the circus owner's signature. You see what I mean? I hope everybody understands where we're getting at. Infiltrators, haters. This is the reason why my children can't go and have fun today, tonight. It's because of niggas like them. This is the number one reason. Anyway, we got a call on the line. See, shit like that just gets me upset. You know, like you said in the Black Devil book, they come and they spoil up everything. They spoil everything. Caller, you're live, you're on. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, my name is Fred Bodie. How you doing?
What's up, partner?
Hey, what's up, baby sister? Yeah, I just wanted to briefly, you know, saying comment on everything that happened with the Ramsey situation. You know, so as you know, but maybe a lot of people probably didn't know, you know what I'm saying? Dr. York, who is my friend and mentor, you know what I'm saying, he hired me as his public relations person, you know what I'm saying, for the club, Ramesses, as well as for all the entertainment for Tamaray. So basically, I was there, you know, during the whole Ramses, if you will, fiasco. And one of the things that I observed, you know what I'm saying, on one particular day while in the Ramses, you know what I mean, was Fox TV 5 came to the pylon. And when they came to the pylon, they wanted to do, you know, Fox TV 5, for those who don't know, is a news station, local news station out of Atlanta, Georgia. They wanted to do a special report on Tamaray, on what we were doing, you know, the building and so forth and so on. And the brother Al Woodall came in there, you know, he had his camera equipment and things like that. and was telling, I was sitting right next to Dr. Yorton, all right, when this happened inside the Ramses. And Brother Al Woodall came in there and pretty much said, hey, Fox TV 5 is at the power line. They want to do a special report, yada, yada, yada. And Pops made it clear, Dr. Yorton made it clear. He said, don't mention anything about the land. He said, make sure they only focus on the club. Now, why was that important is because Fox TV 5 did air a special report on the Rams and Social Club that night. You know, they had a, you know, these people even got their own club. From that point on, Sheriff Seals found out about it. And what a lot of people may not be aware of is that Sheriff Seals actually approached Dr. York. And with regards to, hey, you know what I'm saying, this is illegal, but I'm going to let you keep it open if you give me $45,000. Pops pretty much told him, I'm going to keep it real on the air with you. Like, fuck you. I ain't, you know what I'm saying, you can't extort me. And that was, you know, so everything else that the good brother, Dr. Thompson, said is true as far as the zoning violation or whatever, but it became an issue when Dr. York would not succumb to an illegal proposition. You know what I mean? Under the table, underhanded proposition that Sheriff Seals wanted to do. I was there. And so with that being said, I just wanted to throw that on the record. In 1994, Sheriff Seals did actually patrol one of our family days, you know what I'm saying, when we were cowboys. He actually did the patrolling in 94 as well as 95. Now, Pops, Dr. York, already knew about demonic activity, satanic activity taking place in Edenton, Georgia, and his job as Mikael Michael was to initiate the battle, which is a lot of people don't realize that he initiated. That's why he told Fox TV 5, you know what I'm saying, don't do anything other than the Ramses. He knew the reaction. Remember, in your Holy Tablet, chapter 7, tablet 1, it speaks about Mikael Michael being the ruler of the mental plane and the true plane of cause, meaning cause the cause that cause the effect.
Amen. We appreciate your, Bodie. We want you to stay on the line with us. Doc, you want anything? You want to say anything in regards to, you know, that? I mean, I know you know, but, you know.
In regards to, no.
I mean, you want to add on? You want to add on?
No, that sounds pretty good.
Okay, good.
All that was accurate to what I can understand and what I've heard.
Absolutely.
But only thing I can confirm is what I stated.
Absolutely. Only thing he can confirm is what he stated. Amen. Dr. York says nobody hates New Wives more than I do. That's what he said. That's what he said. Right? Tell me some things that he also said about Sheriff Seals, Doc, in regards to, you know, the Nuwabians was putting out against Sheriff Seals. I mean, how come? Let me just say this. How come everybody want to be heroes? And how come when what is considered all hell was breaking loose? What the hell is this Nuwabian brother doing, slashing the lawyer's tires in Edenton, Georgia?
But first of all, on the topic of sheriff, the sheriff that was there before Sheriff Seals. And I don't recall his name, but when Dr. York got to, and this is Dr. Malachi Z. York, the King of Justice, when he got to Edenton, that sheriff was actually investigated and arrested for the very thing that that Mr. Bodie said that Sheriff Seals was trying to do. What he said he was trying to do with Dr. York, but that particular sheriff who was there just before Sheriff Seals was arrested by the federal government and locked up because of trying to get or steal money from the county and from the people. And embezzle and different other charges related to that he'd done for several years and was one of the good old boys and nobody ever bothered him. But it wasn't until Dr. Malachi Z. York got to town that particular sheriff got investigated, arrested, and removed from his position.
Okay. So if that was during the cowboy days and that's when he got there, maybe that's who he was talking about. I don't know.
In reference to,
I ain't giving you 45 nothing.
Well, no, that particular, I don't know about that incident, but that particular sheriff definitely did have conversations with Dr. York about how we should start our housing. We start with the trailers first, and then build houses and things like that. That was all suggested. That's what the chief had told us, that he suggested that we start with the trailers first.
Oh, okay. How about that? Clearing up the lines, y'all. Nobody hates Nuwabians more than I do, says Dr. York. If you're just listening in, it's Dr. York versus the Nuwabians. I'm Dawn Nicoleone.
And I'm Tina.
And we're going to take a short break, and we're going to finish this thing up. But in order to go forward, we got to go back sometime. We got to go back in order to go forward. Let's take a short break.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking. Time for thinking ahead. World's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh.
Wake up, everybody, baby. Nobody says, you know, that Dr. York was a racist until Nuwabians went out and was yelling that they were a racist anti-government, fraternity or organization and all that good stuff. Oh, actually it's bad stuff, but, you know, Bennett, that's one of my saying, good stuff. Page 88, could you get that for me?
Yes.
So, now, is Dr. York in jail? Is the trial true? Is what happened on 404 Shady Dale 6 years ago real? And I still say to this day that from May 8th, as far from May 8th up until October of 2003, May 8th, 2002, up until October of 2003, again, that was 15 months later, they were still putting in the article that that the leader of the Nuwabian Nation of Moors was 36 years old, y'all. You got to know that.
Dwight D. York.
Dwight D. York, 36 years old, his longtime
associate
Kathy Johnson. They were still putting it in there. Y'all got the man. Hell, there was a trial that y'all considered that took place in Brunswick in the beginning of that year. In January, in October, you're still saying 36 years old. Something ain't right, y'all. Something ain't right. That's all I say. Now, is Dr. York anti-America or anti-the government? The answer is no. Are the Nuwabians that he hates, you know, that he says he hates anti-the government, anti-America? Yes, indeed, because they're all listed on the hate list for hate crimes of this organization. I forgot what it's called, but
it's a Southern Poverty
Southern
Poverty League or Southern Poverty Conference.
And here he says to his leaders or Nuwabians, whatever you want to call them, he says, it starts on page 88, but it's called Involvement in the Family Guide. Make sure that before you involve yourself or allow your children to be involved in any organization, that you do a thorough investigation on its beliefs and policies, as well as its founder's beliefs. That means when you refer to the Webster Dictionary, it will be to your advantage to know what Webster's religious beliefs, his fraternal involvement, and his political outlooks are before you use his references or definitions. You may join the Boy Scouts of America and the Girl Scouts USA, the cadets, the drum and bugle team, the cheerleaders and majorettes. Any sorority or fraternity that you investigate and find are not anti-government or dangerous. Why did the so-called administration lead y'all straight into the new Black Panther Party? Why? Let me say that again. Any sororities or fraternities that you investigate and find are not anti-government or dangerous. Why? Why was y'all listening to Malik Shabazz, bitch ass? That rhymes. Malik Shabazz, bitch ass. Huh? Because y'all don't listen. Again, military, police department, fire department, any lodges that you investigate, or any organization for support and welfare of those in need, don't join any organization that is racist or any religious group or organization that teaches hate. Why? The so-called administration was leading y'all straight into anti-race groups, anti-hate groups, the new Black Panther Party. What, you got something to say for you?
Hate groups and racist groups.
Hate groups and racist groups. That's what it says. I'm reading it from his own mouth, from his words. 12 in the book on page 91, Family Guide. If you fight in defense of any country, let it be the United States of America. It is all right to join the Coast Guard or the National Guard or Reserve or FBI if you feel this will improve human relations. That was coming from, you know, the Family Guy. So my question is, why the hell was y'all at them damn Black Panther parties? You know, and again, Nuwabian Nation of Moors, excuse me, Nuwabian Nation of Moors was listed as a racist and hate group right with the new Black Panther Party, right with the Nation of Islam. They were setting y'all up. We got another. We're gonna see if Bodie's still on the line. You still on the line, Bodie?
Yep, you're right. That was definitely a setup. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people fell for the okie doke. You know, and what's sad, like you said, a lot of people still falling for it. A lot of people, you know what I'm saying? Now, one thing I heard Pop say, Dr. York say, you know what I'm saying, that stuck with my heart and mind for a long time. He said, I don't have millions of followers. He said, I have millions of readers. I have millions of readers all around the world, you know what I'm saying? And I have a few followers. Like, I think he mentioned like 3,000 or 4,000. I'm not exactly sure. Don't quote me on that. But one thing I do recall, you know what I'm saying, was in Macon, Georgia, when, you know, I wasn't actually there, you know what I'm saying? That was explained to me by, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Nicole Young and others who were there, you know what I'm saying? When the chief called, the chief, meaning Maku, Chief Black Eagle, as we know him, as our tribal, eternal tribal leader, you know what I'm saying, according to the Constitution. And by the way, there's only one leader according to that Constitution. There's one tribal leader. That's Maku Black Eagle. That's an eternal covenant for those who are listening now who think they got a new tribal leader. he called and a sister, Anita Yarborough, asked him, should we be waiting on you? And he says, no. Y'all have been waiting on me for 400 years. I've come, I've done my job. He says, I'm waiting on leaders to stand up. So for all those who are still feeling that in their heart that they need someone to follow, then I understand, you know what I'm saying, why they are following administrations and following this person. But he also said, curse be the follower of followers. So everyone really, really, really need to just, again, I was just listening to the Holy Tablet the other day, chapter 7. He says, for those of us who do not become like the chosen one would perish, yet everyone just needs to read. The last thing I remember, I was sitting next to my sister, Donnie Corleone, in one of the last classes that the chief, Dr. Malachi York, gave, you know what I'm saying? And one of those classes, he just literally took a piece of paper, Donnie Corleone, maybe you can reiterate, you know what I'm saying? He took a book or something. And I think he pointed at my sister and just, you know, was saying it to everybody, but he was making Donnie Corleone, you know what I'm saying, as the person they use as an example, just to say, Iqra, meaning read, read. And I think a lot of people have gotten away from reading the truth of who he is and gotten to, you know, this mind control, very, very, very selective, very skillful, very clever, like the word Adrian Patrick means clever, very clever mind control tactics by COINTEL, you know what I'm saying, which is Black Panther, all those guys, Malik Shabazz, all of them working, not necessarily for the family the whole time, but definitely against, you know what I'm saying, what Pops and Dr. York stood for the entire time.
Thank you so much. Malik Shabazz also contacted us, too, by the way. He was striving to reach Dr. Thompson when Malik Shabazz, you know, utilizing Malik Shabazz to get all the goddamn money from the Nuwabians, saying that he was going to see him, you know, on a weekly basis. Y'all hear that shit now. We go see him every week. We need $1,000 now. You know, but everybody goes to see this man on a weekly basis. But Malik Shabazz, this is behind the scenes, y'all. Malik Shabazz was seeking out to contact Dr. William S. Thompson And let me explain to y'all certain things that you have no idea about with Malik Shabazz. Dr. Malachi Z. York and Khalid Muhammad were very good friends, were close. And when they did his assassination, when they poisoned him with medication so he can go into a coma state, am I correct, Doc?
Yeah, he had what seemed like a ruptured aneurysm. He had a stroke and he had a bleed in his brain.
Okay. And he was at that current time in Kennesaw, Georgia Hospital, I believe, in Marietta. Okay. And Dr. Thompson is going to take it over, where the chief sends Dr. Thompson to go to that hospital and help this brother stay alive as much as possible. And you can have it.
Well, basically, we got a call from one of the individuals who was at the hospital, and I contacted the chief to let him know that they were requesting our assistance, and he gave me a few instructions on the particular meeting that I was going to have with them. And I went to the hospital myself, and Dr. Kimbrough went to the hospital, and we were there for a moment. We weren't able to meet or greet with the people for very long, the Panther Party, but I left the that day, and then...
No, you met with Malik Shabazz.
Yeah, we did meet with them, but I was trying to get to the point where I did see Khalid Muhammad.
Okay.
But we did meet with Malik Shabazz. They didn't allow us to see him at that time, but we came back and I spoke with them, and they allowed me to see him the next time I came later that night. Only I had to come alone.
He had to come by himself because Kimbrough is a fucking traitor. Go ahead. I had to put that in there. And then you can come, but not Kimbrough.
Yeah, and that was the talk that myself and Dr. York had. We spoke about 3 in the morning, and he told me to please go and help him do what I could. So I went, and they were also in touch with the famous neurosurgeon up in Baltimore, the brother, whose name I can't remember right now, the one who did the twins, the co-joint twins. And he was out also assisting in the case, but he wasn't able to make it there from Baltimore. So I was able to come there and talk with them, Malik Shabazz and the rest of the family and the Black Panthers, and I gave them Dr. York's condolences and the messages that Dr. York had for them in that situation. And then, of course, I did get to see their leader, Khalid Muhammad, and I got to go through some of the records and determine some of the things that they had found had happened to him. And it was something that I can't, of course, discuss in detail at this time. But he was suffering from a bleed in his brain. And I, of course, left after that and spoke with him only on the phone afterwards in suggestion and advice they would want to do and what assistance, if any, that they could get from Dr. York in their situation.
So now, what year was that? That was 98 or something like that. When did, I don't remember when Khalid Muhammad passed, rest his soul, and I prayed that, you know, the Most I allow him to come back and kick some more ass on the planet. But anyway, a year later, last year, 2007, Malik Shabazz left us several messages on cell phones and landlines. Now, if y'all can go back to a year ago, Malik Shabazz was y'all leader, was the Nuwabian leader. He was the spokesperson for everything that they was telling them to say or whatever, that he goes to see him. Behind the scenes, he was calling us. Okay, and we the first conversation, if I'm not mistaken, my brother, Dr. Thompson, and a chick named Janet Goins, who's supposed to be working for Malik Shabazz, a bootleg Nuwabian, I call her, call herself a paralegal, right? You talked to her on the phone.
Yeah, I spoke to her.
Okay, when you and my brother was on the phone, what did you say to her in regards to this? Well, we need you to get Dr. York, whatever, because he's in jail suffering. And all that stuff, and I'm working for Malik Shabazz. What did you tell her?
I explained to her that Dr. Malachi of New York was not in jail, and I explained to her how she, as an attorney, or as a paralegal, I believe she said she was, could find that information easily at the Middle District Court in Macon, Georgia. I actually gave her the case names, and I assumed that she, being a paralegal, and even in discussions with an attorney, could pull up that information very easily without any problems. And
yeah.
I told her that would explain everything to her that she needed to know, showing that no, Dr. Malachi of New York is not in jail.
Okay, so, and this is also the Janet Goins is right now pretending she's a Colorado legal team, y'all. Anyway, however, shortly after that, Malik Shabazz started calling us, which we never answered his phone, and I wish I would have saved the messages that he left. But he left a message saying, "Old brother, Dr. Thompson, it's been a while. The last time we talked was at the Liz passing at the hospital we met. And, you know, I would like to talk to you in regards to this, in regards to Dr. York came in jail." That's what he said. "We would like to sit down. I would like to sit down and hear your theories on that." Now, wait a minute, guys.
Yeah, he said it was an interesting theory.
He said he called it an interesting theory. But according to you, Malik Shabazz, you tell the Nawabians that you go see him. What Dr. Thompson theory got to do with you going to see this nigga?
It should have been no question.
Absolutely. So he wants to sit down. See, this is the behind-the-scenes shit. Y'all Nawabians don't know they be doing to us, you know. They tell y'all one thing and call us and say, "Can we just have a cup of tea over this shit so we can shut your ass up?" Okay, 27 minutes remaining on the air. Tomorrow is part two because there's so much to discuss. So we do this every weekend, you know, because we know people can have time to, you know, at least out of their jobs and call in if you got questions, if you got concerns or anything like that, you know, so that we could at least, you know, we first of all, we ain't got no reason to lie. You know, especially no reason. I mean, we are financially stable. We're making our money legit. You know, we got jobs. So what are you looking at me for like that?
No.
It's like you are crazy. 27 minutes remaining on the air. I'm gonna click on my brother when we come back on the line, and we'll go take a short break.
Wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be.
If you're just listening in, this is Don Nicoleon. You're listening to WGAG Radio, and I'm your host, Don Nicoleon.
And I'm Keita.
And I'm Keita. Dr. York says nobody hates Nawabians more than he do, okay? And I know it's not all y'all because, you know, it's not all Nawabians. It's just the people that go out and defile every manner of evil against them and you know, just is. More to this, you know. Let me clear this up, and I have to say this because we do have listeners that just listens in to the Don Nicoleon show and may have maybe remnants of Nawabians in their lives, but Dr. York and all that good stuff. Dr. York loves America. He loves all humans. He is not a racist. And he wrote a book called Are There Black Devils? I think that book should have went platinum. That's what he said. It should have went platinum. And at the end of the day, I'm going to click on my brother, and maybe he'll have another comment or things that's moving through him. You on? If you have something to say?
Yeah. No, I'm continually listening, you know what I'm saying, as everything is unfolding. And you're right, you know what I'm saying, the misrepresentation of Dr. York, you know what I'm saying, is that, you know, he is some fanatic individual or nothing like that. Well, that's not the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, just me, like, for instance, you know, when he opened up the Ramses, I remember he told me he would take all of the money, not a portion, but every thousands of dollars that we made from Ramses and sent it overseas to feed the children. You know, to that, and he told me that that white dude, you know, on the Feed the Children show, you know what I'm saying, that you'd be saying, I don't know all of them, but it's one particular white dude that he said that is a sincere work, that what they do with the money is the truth. You know, little things like that. I mean, the work that he did for the American Cancer Society, you know what I'm saying? One of our events, Savior's Day, Family Day, June 26th, which is birthday, by the way, you know what I'm saying, that took place in 2001. I mean, we had the American Cancer Society there. We had, I mean, he sponsored so many children, you know what I'm saying, for scholarships and Olympics and all type of stuff. I mean, the work that this man has done, you know what I'm saying, pales in comparison, you know what I'm saying? I mean, not pales, but what the word is, exceeds, you know what I'm saying, you know, just humanly expectations of what people can do. And he don't do it for publicity, you know what I'm saying? Like, he don't just, and, like, by the way, people like Oprah, you know what I'm saying, was benefited from Dr. York's advice, you know what I'm saying? People like Bill Cosby, we can go on and on about all the different people who truly love him, who...
And let me, not to cut you off, but let me put this on the record. The Attorney General for the state of Georgia, name is Thurbert Baker. He was also with us on the land, in some of the functions, I don't know if it was a Thanksgiving dinner or the ball or, you know, in Macon or something like that. I can't remember what year, you know, but if y'all have the old magazines, he's there, you know, the Attorney General for the state of Georgia. That's his boy, you know, that's his man. And here Dr. Thompson is, what, 3 years later, deposition for the state of Georgia. Assistant attorneys, the state of Georgia about to be sued millions of dollars in regards to a lawsuit concerning an inmate in jail, torture, and death. But they're telling y'all that Dr. York is being tortured still to this day. Give us your money. We need a torture attorney. No, the families, again, I still say need to get together and file a case against the Florence, well, Florence X, whatever fuck the prison penitentiary is, they call it, that he's in now being tortured.
Yeah, help that brother, whoever that is.
Whoever that is in jail, shit. How, you know, come on now. Come on, where's the logic at it all, Nuwabians? Why y'all ain't questioning them on that? Y'all don't think clearly. Y'all just say, oh, man, that's too bad, he's being tortured. How much do we give you? No, they need to get a lawyer. If what they say is real, because the burden of proof is on them. If what they say is real, you tell them to produce them motions and them decisions, them judges, you know, that they've been filing since 04, that they've been popping up on the websites that you can download, that they're showing they're doing. I'm sure a judge made a decision or did an answer to that bullshit. So, you know.
That's been years.
Exactly. So, you know, these are things that y'all might want to question them on, because we ain't the one that's saying, okay, here's where your money went to. Here's the filing that we just did in August of this year. You know what I'm saying, Keith? You are looking at me like, damn. You know, I mean, these are for real. You know, he questioned any and everybody. You know, so it's like, you know, where's the filing? Okay, we see what y'all did. We see what y'all wrote up. Where's the answer to that? You know, where's the answer? Don't the judge supposed to answer that?
That's right.
You know, and let me say that appeal bullshit that they did with Adrian Patrick down there in Atlanta, what year was that Waikia tried to set you up on?
06, maybe.
It was 06? That was the same thing after my trial down there in Brunswick. We was watching TV, and in the appeal down there in Atlanta on the Capitol steps that all them niggas sat on the platform and spoke about, that appeal with Adrian Patrick, and they only let it selected Nuwabians in, because those selected Nuwabians knew damn well that shit was recorded. They was listening all over the, it was a speaker box. Ain't that some shit? So you went inside the court, and you don't see nobody. All you doing is hearing a speaker. Come on now. They ain't tell y'all that, did they? So they just leave out the courtroom, and all the followers comes up to Rick, Rochelle. I mean, well, I don't think Rochelle was there. Bond, where you going? I don't give a damn about that. Bond, whoever hell was there, Waikia, and they say, so what happened? They didn't tell you that they were listening. They was listening to a goddamn speaker. Like, they ain't tell y'all Nuwabians at that courthouse in Brunswick that it was television we was watching. See what I mean? 19 minutes left remaining on the air. Y'all tune in tomorrow for part two. I know it's Saturday. And a lot of people need to move forward with their families. But we're going to keep this thing rolling. We're going to take another short break real quick.
Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand.
Dr. York says, I'm looking for leaders, not followers. How come y'all following the ones that's leading the flock to slaughter? You know, it got to hurt. Y'all done spent 6 years of your time not doing nothing but listening to that BS. You know? Listening to that BS. Dr. York says, nobody hates Nuwabians more than I do. You're listening to Dr. York versus the Nuwabians Part 1. I'm your host, Don Nicoleone.
And I'm Keita.
Hi. So at the end of the day, we got 18 minutes remaining on the air. I will, again, put up this important document that I had no idea what the hell it was. I just thought Dr. York might have copied it, you know, and printed it out to me. But this is a template of the Macon Telegraph article that before it is published about the verdict decision that took place in the trial. The verdict, once the jury is in deliberation, all that stuff. So this article is to come out the day of the decision of this man's life. Well, the decision, the so-called trial, the ending of the trial was what, the 23rd of January. Okay. But the article was written the 21st that York was found guilty of however many counts. Dr. Malachi Z. York sends it to me. And, of course, it took a very smart, intelligent man, because I showed it to Dr. Thompson, like, I don't know what the hell this is. He sent me, but he also sent me this, and I have no idea. He never explained it. So Dr. York, being a college graduate of MD, Dr. Thompson, being a college graduate of MD and all that good shit, sees a date at the bottom that when it was printed out of the printer, and it says the 21st. 2 days before, or a day before, the so-called verdict, the article before it goes to press. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to put it up. I got to figure out how to put it up. I got to probably call Website Pros and send it to them because, you know, I'm not that good on websites. But anyway, so we got 16 minutes remaining on the air. We got Bodie on the line. Bodie, you got anything you want to say?
Yeah. I just want to close out with a comment on the love and hate thing. An example that something that Pop showed me while I was on the land with him, you know what I'm saying, in the Ramses. There was a good brother of mine, you know what I'm saying. His name is Kamor, you know what I'm saying. He's a good friend of mine. Anyway, he came up to me once. We were sitting in the Ramses Social Club. And I'm going to make a quick example real fast about love and hate, something that Pop wanted me to see. And I'm going to share it with the family real fast, right? Kamar came to me and was talking about the brother Christopher. Now, I know Dr. Thompson remembers Christopher. His name was the father of BPM. You remember him, Doc?
Yes.
The one who died in the car accident.
Right.
Huh?
Yes, keep on.
Okay. Yeah, so Kamar came to me and was like, yo, I just had a conversation with Pops, you know what I'm saying? And Pops, man, he was telling me how much he hated Chris. You know what I'm saying? He can't stand him. He's this and that, and this nigga's sneaky. He's this and that. And, you know, Kamar just happened to catch me in a moment of love, and I was really discerning the truth of what had happened. And as Kamar was spitting all his venom out, I looked at Kamar, and the spirit of truth moved through me and said, you know what? Pop loves Christopher. He just knows that you're full of hate. And basically, you're the one that's in need of an exorcism right now to get that hate out of your heart because you're the one jealous of him. Pop basically, you know what I'm saying, was absorbing your faults and was kicking it back to you. You know what I'm saying? For you to see that you're the one that needs to be cleansed of that energy or what have you. Now, 3 or 4 years later, you know, I ran into Kamar again in 2003. We embraced. And once we embraced, I felt so much electromagnetic energy coming from the solar plex, pure green light, that it went into my being. and he was lit up with so much love. He was radiant at that point. I don't know what he's doing now. You know what I'm saying? But point I'm making, I was sitting right in Ramses, you know what I'm saying, next to a friend of mine named Deborah Jackson when Dr. Malachi of York, you know what I'm saying, was talking about that statement, that famous now statement, no one hates the Wabians more than me. And when he made that statement, he looked at me. Because at that time, I had been whiteballed by the likes of Moeen and others, you know what I'm saying, may God rest his soul, me and Moeen, and Henry Torres, may God rest his soul. Seemed like everybody who was doing me wrong dead, forgive me, Mosai. But, you know what I'm saying, Moeen, I love you, man, but you should have went in the garage and grabbed me out while I was trying to make a connection, man. I was kind of, I'm going to talk to you about that when I see you in the afterlife. But,
Hey, speaking of the dad shit, Moeen beat the fucking, used to hate the shit out of me, and I ain't did nothing to that nigga. You know what I mean? I ain't lying. Shit. So, hey, you got to go. Shit, I know it's going to make a lot of motherfuckers mad, but that was one nigga that always gave me hell when I came on the land, and that was one nigga that knew. I started getting hell when Dr. York was pulling me closer and closer. That nigga was banging on my goddamn car. I'll never forget that shit. And I remember Moeen when I was like 12, 13 years old, and I couldn't understand why this nigga treat me like this, and here I am 25 now. I remember him. I had nothing but love for him. I had nothing but love. And I remember that other little Puerto Rican nigga with the glasses. What's his name? That the chief said he was a Arab or a Pakistani, high never Puerto Rican or some shit. What's his name? Why are you looking at me like?
Matt 10.
I remember that nigga too. I remember all of them. That's why God don't like ugly. You got to go. I remember. And I know I'm making a lot of people mad, but hey, that's the truth. Shit. I remember that. I'm sorry, Bodie. You started it.
Hey, my bad. But listen, truth is truth. So while I'm sitting there, you know, so I had so much animosity in my heart from being whiteballed and all that shit, you know what I'm saying, and everything, you know, being slandered by the damn Nawabians, you know what I'm saying, and all of that. So when Pops looked at me and said, because he knew, like, in my mind and in my heart, at that point I hated everybody who was calling themselves Nawabians that was responsible for just, you know what I'm saying, what I felt was just unfairness. They had an event, 2001, and Pops was like, anybody who y'all don't want to come on, y'all can kick out. And them niggas put my name on the list. For no apparent reason. I was good that year. I didn't do nothing, you know, anyway. But when he said that, you know, nobody hates Nawabians more than me, in my heart at that time, I had a lot of hate in my heart for them. So basically, I realized, you know what I'm saying, that I had to purge that because at the end of the day, and we go back to the Holy Tablets, page 756, you know what I'm saying, the tablet was called Love. And he talks about the hate of another human being is to hate yourself. You know what I'm saying? And he talks about love and just channeling in the seventh chapter, the first tablet, channeling all human love into divine love, compassion, and things like that. That's an inner growth. It's an inner work. So basically, you can have divine love and not like what people do. And just to end it, I want to say, like we said before, I want to say it again to clear it up. The Wabians, like, it just represents our black race. That's not what it means. But it went from an identity to a mentality. Because when the master teacher, Dr. Malachi of New York, came on the scene, he had to give us a language, a culture, an identity. Yes, we have an identity. That's beautiful. You know what I'm saying? But it went from an identity to a mentality. What the beautiful hostess, Don Corleone, is addressing is the mentality of people who are calling themselves Nawabians today. Because you don't hear Music Soul Child getting up, getting his Grammy, and says, first of all, I'd like to thank my Nawabian family. He didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? You don't hear Jimmy Cliff and everybody who loves Dr. York, Sade, people like that who love Dr. York, you know what I'm saying, getting up and claiming to be Nawabians, even though by race, Nawabian is just a grammatical expression of the word Nubian from the ancient Sephardic word Nuban, right? But a lot of people don't even want to associate with our racial identity because of the mentality, and that is what we're addressing.
Thank you so much for that. And we got 10 minutes remaining on the air. We would definitely like to thank everyone that listened in today. And my brother, especially Dr. Thompson, thank you so much for coming. You know, I mean, I know you got to cut grass or water the flowers or something today. But anyway, Dr. York says nobody hates Nawabians more than I do. And according to my brother, he was there when he made that statement. And you know what? And I felt the same way, like you said, because you felt so much hate in your heart that he addressed that. Like, nigga, you have no idea about the hate you feel for them. I got it. It was a day when I never overstood in 2004 when he was calling me to do certain things for him in regards to this mock trial case and shit, when he was calling me. Every time the chief would call me, I would cry when we hang up. I would hurt. And he would say, I need you to go to Rick and get this. I need you to go to Mentu Hotel and get this. I need for you to do this. And they would sabotage every goddamn thing. And I never could overstand it. I'm about to cry now. And I was sitting outside one day, and I felt so much fucking pain because I didn't understand why these motherfuckers was just sabotaging every fucking thing in regards to him, because I was under the illusion that he was really fucking in jail. So I'm crying. I'm crying outside. I didn't want the people in my house to see me cry. And I just felt so much fucking pain because I didn't know that he opened my eyes to what the fuck they were trying to do, and if it was left up to them, he would still be locked up today. And I cried and I cried. The phone rings. They tell me it's him on the phone. I get on the phone. I pretend like ain't shit just goddamn happened. And the first thing he says to me is, nobody knows how much pain I feel. He said, I feel more pain than anybody on this motherfucker. That's what he said. So anyway, I just wanted to get that out. We'll go to a short break, but, you know, it's like he felt my pain, and he wanted to address my pain and say, nobody knows the pain I feel. And I know that he was letting me know that he felt my pain, because I couldn't understand why so many fucking dirty niggas on the planet would just do too much dirty shit. That they lying, they fucking lying, they lying, they lying, they lying, they just won't stop fucking lying. It just hurts. It just hurts. That's all.
Can I read?
Go ahead. Sure. Dr. Thompson is going to read something from Who God Is Responsible by Dr. Malachi Z. York, if it helps.
If it helps. And I'm starting on page 80. And it says, this is him speaking, the things of this world look good to you because this world deals with touch, and you feel when you're touched. I'm trying to get you prepared to walk out of this predicament. You know why? Because you want me to use your Bible. You want me to use your Quran. As long as I was Imam Isa and I was teaching you through the Quran and the Bible, you were happy without anything. And I kept warning you through the years, this isn't it. It's bigger than this. This is not what I'm really here to do. I'm going to give you what you need, though, because this is what you want. And this will keep you satisfied. But we are running out of time. And I kept on saying the hourglass is almost empty. Remember that? I said, I got to tell you the total truth soon. And the reality of it, you are not going to like. They say, what about the Quran? And I would say, it's a nice little book. Anybody who was an Ansar will tell you, let's say it's a nice little book. But I will throw it on the floor, and they will say, don't do that, Imam. And I say, Imam, I'm not Imam. Imam is a clown. He's an actor. He's doing a play, a front. Preachers are fronting. They don't know what's really going on. They all live by the Quran. This book here is neutral. It has nothing in it. If you point out to them about the Enuma Elish, they look at you like you're crazy. Then one of you asks me about the Atra Hasis, and I say, just leave that alone. You still believe in this. And he goes on and says, I don't believe in all that crazy stuff you believe in, all those structures you set up so that you can justify pointing the finger at each other so you can start judging him. He got drunk, not why is he drunk. What has the world led him into, not why is he on drugs and what in the world has made him a drug addict. All you see is that drug addict. He's no good. He's nothing. The condition of this world leads men to drugs, women, and drinking.
Thank you so much, Doc. We got 5 minutes remaining on the air. If you're just tuning in, you could be able to download the entire show once it's up and posted on the profile page or the segment page on blogtalkradio.com, /WGAG-radio. The topic today is Dr. York versus the Nuwabians, and that's part one. And we got 5 minutes relaying. We're going to let Bodie, if you got anything you want to say, we got 5 minutes.
Yeah, I just want to briefly clear up. I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know what I'm saying, because I can feel a lot of people thinking like, yo, you know what I'm saying, to comment about Moline. I just want to end it by saying I love the brother Moline. You know what I'm saying? Me and him were definitely arch enemies. We fought. You know what I'm saying? I loved him. He did a lot of good things. So this wasn't a slander, you know what I'm saying, to the dead, what many people would say. But it was just the truth of what was in my heart, why I thought Bjork made that statement, because he was addressing me, because he knew that he wanted me, you know what I'm saying, to be able to clear that out of my spirit and walk in love. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. Like, even, you know what I'm saying, no matter what nobody has ever done to you or anybody else, if you can maintain love and truth in your heart, you know what I'm saying, then that makes you a better person. It raises your character, and it automatically affects the conscious level of the entire, you know, planet. We're supposed to be examples of love. Dr. York was all about love and truth. His life stood for the sister Donna Corleone was playing Save the Children. That was his favorite song, which is now, I live by that theme. You know what I'm saying? No matter how effed up my life was as a child, and I had some good.
Okay, thank you, Fred. We got 4 minutes remaining on the air. Dr. Thompson.
I just wanted to say that Dr. York still stands for love and truth.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
For those who don't know it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It ain't no was, and it ain't, you know. No, but Dr. Malachi D. York is not in jail. We're going to keep exposing this so everybody can question the motherfuckers that's saying they going to see him. Only family can go and see him. Okay, family, sons, sisters, daughters, nephews, and nieces of Dr. York. Why the hell y'all ain't suing the shit out of the Colorado prison system for torture? Why the hell y'all ain't suing the shit out of Clayton County prison for torture? Why the hell y'all ain't suing the shit out of the U.S. Penitentiary in Atlanta, Georgia? Because y'all was saying he was tortured there. Let's see some real shit. Stop lying to these motherfuckers. 3 minutes remaining on the air. Excuse my French, because I do know French, too. Dr. York says nobody hates Nuwabians more than I do. Tomorrow, tune in for part two. And we'd like to thank everybody for listening, and may the Most High continue to bless and protect you and your children and guide you to the right path, or keep you on it for you and your family. And I'm signing out. Y'all have a great Sabbath and continue to strive for perfection. And I'm out.
DJ Rock on the beat.
Yeah. Out while I'm showing love to Georgia gospel.
G-E-O-R.